Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week, I'm bringing you no-nonsense, no-BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Andrea Maxim, and I am thrilled that I have Jenna Priestap on my show today. She is a student of mine. She is a coaching client of mine, and she has just crushed it. In the past 3 weeks since we started working together, basically, every time I said, okay, this is what you got to do, she's like, done. This is what you got to do, done. No worries, no hesitation, just made it happen. This girl has got nothing but pure grit, and I knew I needed to bring her onto the show because she's not even a licensed practitioner yet. She is a student. She's doing this all before writing NPLEX 2, which is our second license exam before we actually get our license number. And she's just making it happen. She's a mom. She is pretty much a full-time mom, a student, a wife. You know, there's just no reason why any of us can't achieve the goals that we want to. We don't have to be defined by anything that is going on in our life. If we want to make something happen like our business, Jenna is the perfect example of how to do that. So we are going to walk through step by step how she approached her online. It was done completely online. Her online challenge fed into a 6-week program that she sold for. And after the call, she actually started taking on one-on-one coaching clients just to help with lifestyle changes and diet and things like that. Again, just to make a little bit of extra revenue. And she paid for over a half of what my coaching services were in those 3 weeks. So it also goes to show, like, the world is your oyster. And sometimes you make scary investments and they can pay off in dividends, because now she's done all the hard work, because doing everything once the first time is the hardest. And then she just gets to rinse and repeat this whenever she wants to. And of course, staying within regulatory boundaries. But I love sharing these stories. I love having my students on. And even next week, I'm having another student of mine who has also just made some massive leaps and bounds in her business. So I can't wait for you to hear that. But this is just something, like, this is just a little something. This is me sharing my people that are working with me, but I would love to share your stories. If you have something that you think our, you know, community of healthpreneurs could benefit from, if you have gone through something, whether positive or negative, meaning it didn't go the way that you wanted it to, but you learned such valuable lessons from just taking that imperfect action, I would love to have you on the show. So if you're not already, follow me on Instagram at Andrea Maxim ND. Send me a direct message. Tell me your story. Tell me what you love, what you want to share, and we'll have you on the show. One of the challenges that I put in the Maximize Your Clinic group last month in October, because we're November now, was get on to a podcast or be a guest blogger on somebody's blog. Because as health practitioners and healthpreneurs, we have such a beautiful message that we need to be spreading to as many people as we possibly can. And it's amazing how simple it is actually to get onto people's podcasts, because people are always looking for guests. They're always looking for people to highlight, to take away the pressure of them having to create content always on their own. And that's why interviewing people is so fun for me, because I don't have to create an hour's worth of content. It's just pure conversation that we have, and I'm learning from these people as much as I hope you are. So we do these challenges often in the Maximize Your Clinic course. Jenna is a personal coaching client of mine, but now also a member of that program. And if you're curious about it and you wanted to learn how to get involved with the Maximize Your Clinic program, where we do live trainings every month and everything else, I invite you to a free masterclass that I have. It is at maximizedbusiness.ca/3xyourbusiness. So the number 3, the letter X, your business. And you can watch the entire free training on the 5 most important strategies that I think everybody needs to have in their business. And then we elaborate on that more inside the course. So if you just want to get the hour free training and run, I invite you to do so. www.maximizedbusiness.ca/3xyourbusiness. But if in the end you're like, I am so ready to start to work with Andrea, I am so ready to start to work with you. So without further ado, let's jump on to the training, the interview with Jenna. Hi, Jenna. Thank you so much for being on the Profitable Practice podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And I am like so thrilled that you decided to come on the show, because a lot of questions that I get from practitioners that haven't gotten their license yet, that have just graduated, they're like, how can I start getting my business going now? How can I start, you know, getting my awareness and start to make impact on people while I'm kind of like in this intermediate stage? And what you have been able to accomplish in basically like a month is phenomenal. So I can't wait to share all that with everybody. But first, for those that don't know you, why don't you give a bit of a background?
Sure. So my name is Jenna Priestap. I actually just graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in August. And honestly, so I went through CCNM, and in second year, I became pregnant, and I had my daughter in third year, and that's when I really noticed that there is a lot of lack in the maternal support world. And that's honestly where everything clicked, and I realized that naturopathic medicine and me, like that's my niche, and that's where we can fill that void. There's all these places that, like, there are pediatricians for babies specifically. Sure, the midwives are there for the pregnant mom throughout the pregnancy and for 6 weeks after, but they're also still ensuring that the baby's thriving. Whereas, sure, like, a baby is born, but also a mother is born too. But nobody talks about that transition, and I think this is a place that naturopathic medicine can completely fill that void and really support mothers, and that's what I wanted to do, and so that's what I've set off on doing.
And since you decided to do that, you have been so vulnerable. You have not shied away from doing Facebook Lives or like getting on camera with, oh my goodness, Chloe. Okay.
Yeah,
Chloe. I was thinking Sophie in my head, with Chloe. And you've basically just kind of invited everybody into your world, which is something that I find a lot of people are very afraid to do. So even coming from that place where you're like, you know what, I don't care, Chloe's coming on this with me, I just need to get my message out. How do you overcome a lot of the fears around being like live on social media?
Honestly, at first it was really nerve-wracking, but I've become very flexible with Chloe. I know that having a business, you need structure, sure, but flexibility is also where a lot of it comes from, because yeah, I'll plan out, okay, today I want to talk about this, but if Chloe's having a sucky day or she just wants to be with mama, I'm going to let her be in the video. And yeah, if anything, it actually helps me show really the maternal piece. Like, we see on social media so many perfect mothers that have it all together, when in reality, like, I do not have my shit together at all. I hope it's okay, I can swear on this, but like, most of us don't, right? So you just gotta kind of, I just want to show, if I can connect to one mother and show her that, hey, it's okay to be this vulnerable and we're all like this, then I've done my job. And that fear of being live and something going wrong, it just, that's life. That's what happens. You just got to be flexible and roll with it.
I love it. And so, full disclosure, you are one of my coaching clients.
Yes.
And what was your journey like from knowing what you wanted to do? So you're like, this is what my mission is. This is what I want to create, to kind of starting to work with me. What was that interim part like?
So I've noticed, I've known that I've wanted to do something like this for a while. I even tried to do my own program last summer, which it worked out, but then I ended up, like, I started my clinical internship year, things got too heavy, and I got lost. I didn't know what to do, and I ended up just taking care of myself and doing clinic that first. But nearing the end of my internship, I was like, okay, I know that I still want to help all the moms and I need some guidance. I don't know. I feel like I know what to do, but I don't actually know what to do when I tried to lay it all out. And I looked for someone who had experience, and I really liked your drive and your tenacity because you had a lot of things that you would always show up with. And I heard you on, I don't know if it was Dr. Megan Walker's podcast, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about, like, the, again, the realness of being a mompreneur. And I was like, okay, right there, that's, she's the one. So I knew that I needed some coaching guidance. And honestly, it was like the universe connected us mm-hmm. when I heard you on that podcast. And yeah.
Awesome. And so even for myself, like, just getting out there, getting out to other people's platforms, for the most part, all of the things that you would see me on, I actually created, right? So this is a big lesson. You reached out to me. I didn't, like, search you down. I didn't hunt you down. I didn't find you. You were just like, I need some guidance. What is it that you can do? And I mean, you asked the tough questions. You didn't just sign up with me because you heard me on a podcast. We had a conversation around everything. But one of the best pieces that I loved about you, which is why I knew we'd be such a great fit, is you were just like, just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. And that is exactly what you did. So the kind of, like, overarching thing that I want to talk about now is really, what were the steps that you took to go from $0 and basically hardly anybody on your email list
mm-hmm.
to now you've created, what is it, $1,300 in the span of 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
With no overhead, with no cost other than your time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is absolutely reproducible for anybody that's listening to this episode right now. And again, the big question is, well, are we allowed to do this? Is this okay? In my mind, if you are only providing people with lifestyle dietary advice and you are in no way talking about a single medical condition or offering supplemental advice or anything like that, I personally see how this is no different than doing a presentation. You're just charging for it.
Yeah.
So let's go step by step in what you did. So how did you even come up with the concept of the initial challenge? So you did a 10-day challenge. How did mm-hmm. you even come up with the idea that you wanted to do a challenge first? And then we'll talk about your big offer later.
Well, because I knew, so I've always known that I wanted to do, like, a bigger program, or I basically worked backwards. So I really want to help moms. And eventually when I do get my license, I want to see them one-on-one in office, but right now I can do online. So what would that look like? Okay. That I thought that could be something like a 6-week program. And then I know, because I also, work with, like, the Wellness Business Academy, we're taught that you need, like, the small resistance offer. I'm butchering the real name of it, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But basically that you need like the entrance offer.
It's like a tripwire kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Yeah. And realistically, people aren't going to go for a full lifestyle change, or usually they don't right off the hop. They almost need, like, a taste of it. So that would be, like, that's what I thought. Okay, that could be, like, a smaller challenge, which would be the 10-day challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of came up with that in that way. And I presented it in my free Facebook group for moms, which we can provide links for. And also just on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, it just kind of worked. Essentially, we worked backwards, and you and I worked on that a lot also for our coaching calls. And we really figured out the fine details of all that.
So that's the next thing that I want to talk about is with regards to creating challenges. And I talk about this with a lot of my coaching clients, is your original idea for the 10-day challenge, I basically like ripped it apart for you. Yeah. And you were so kind and so patient with me. And you were just like, yep, that sounds okay. And the reason why is because we didn't want you to sound like everybody else. Yeah. And I really want everybody to kind of drive this home that's listening, is everybody is doing health and lifestyle challenges. There's so many people that are in our industry, whether it's digestion or hormones or pre-pregnancy or post-pregnancy or whatever it is, that we have to find ways to stand out. And for you, we figured out that your deep core, like kind of unique spin on this was more the mental emotional side, which again, a lot of people will do. So do you recall what your 10-day challenge looked like before and how we evolved it afterwards, if you could share?
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to give everybody all of the things. Mm-hmm. I had something completely different for every day. I think it was like the first day we are going to drink 3 liters of water. Then the next day you go outside barefoot in the grass. The next day we like completely write out all of the affirmations. And then the next day, I don't remember, but every single day there was something huge, like a big change for people. And it would have been very overwhelming is what, like when I shared it with you and stuff, you ended like, really helped me see that would have been completely, and those are pretty big steps for people and they may not follow through. And so the way that I wanted to make this different, and this is what I've carried through with my 6-week program, is I'm very transparent and I tell them, like, I wanted to throw basically all of the things at you, but one thing I don't want you to be is overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And that would produce overwhelm. So I've broken it down step by step, and that way there's little successes. So that way when people actually go through the challenge, they are able to do it and they get success.
Yeah. And that was kind of like something that I kept wrangling you back into remembering, like, we don't want to give away what's going to be in your 6-week program. And so when we're going through the days, we also said like how to seed the 6-week program so that when they were done the challenge, this wasn't something that was like out of the blue. They weren't expecting to be sold something. So do you want to talk about the approach of how you actually went through the program, what you offered, how you got people to be so engaging with you?
Yeah, for sure. So with the challenge, I set it up so it was in a Facebook group, but they also got emails, and emails were every other day. I was going to do daily, but again, maybe would have been a little bit overwhelming. So what we did was every day or every other day, we did something different, whether it was drinking, starting off with eating clean. So we provided the full meal plan, but I made a comprehensive guide that ended up explaining the rules basically. So we're cutting dairy, we're cutting sugar, gluten, blah, 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 all of those things to let them know what rules we're going to be following, as well as giving them the meal plan. And we built from there. So we started with the meal plan, and then the next step was that mental emotional piece. So when you get a craving, I have this process. It's reflect, see, like stop and reflect, see what's going on. Are you angry right now? Are you stressed out? And then dealing with that emotion, whether that's go for a run or write, journal, or even cry if you're sad, and then nourishing your body. So again, bringing it back to, instead of depriving yourself, we're going to be eating healthier foods that still technically have that taste. So if you want something sweet, there's a healthier sweet recipe. And then from there, we built on this, like an example of me seeding my program was basically that we were talking about breakfast, and I seeded it by saying, like, in my 6-week program, we talk more about when to eat. And I showed a picture of my bulletproof coffee. Mm-hmm. I was like, but for the purpose of this challenge, we're just going to follow the clean eating. We're going to focus on what to eat instead of when to eat, just to kind of get the wheels turning. Another example of when we did that was when it came to the weekend, I gave them a talk and prepared them for, you know, some people, they mean well, but some people end up saying certain comments like, oh, you like, why don't you just have my pie? I made you this pie and stuff mm-hmm. like that, which can make eating clean a challenge.
Yes.
And so that's where I explained, like, in my 6-week program, we go through more about really setting up those boundaries and truly connecting to your why, to really help you be more resilient in those situations. But for this challenge, we're just going to keep it to how about you just bring your own food to the place. So kind of, again, seeding the program while still supporting them through the challenge. So it's not like you're leaving them high and dry, but seeding it enough that, honestly, I got, I think it was 7 people from my challenge ended up signing up for my program. So, it works.
Now, how did it feel? Because the first time you were going to put that out and I said we have to seed the 6-week program, you had a bit of a freak out. So how did it feel to be selling? Like, because that's the first element where you're actually like selling kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving forward, I think it was easier for you. So how did you go through that type of conversion to be sort of like, oh, now I'm actually going to start like seeding a program that is costing significantly more? And we'll talk about all the pricing in a second. But
yeah, well, it was scary. So with the challenge itself, at first it was a little like, since I made it only $5, it was easier for me to sell. But it still wasn't natural. Mm-hmm. So I definitely had to just keep, I'm one of those people that just throw myself into the deep end and figure it out. So I would just, before I could change my mind, I just click the live button and
right.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's basically just practice where I had to just continue to sell, try and get people to sign up for the challenge. When it came to the program, because we did price it higher, I had no idea what I should price it at. So we went through the little exercise where basically we had to say a price that was just ridiculous. And even there, I think I said like $1,000 or something. I don't know. Where. So we had to keep going. And that's how we ended up coming up with the price for the actual program, which mm-hmm. it was uncomfortable, but comfortable enough that I could confidently say the price and to get people to sign up.
Right. Now, the cool thing that you said there was you actually had people pay to get into your challenge. And we had this conversation. I said, most of the time people do a challenge for free and then sell the program. And you're like, no, we're going to make some money off of this too. So
yeah.
That was something that I thought was really great. And it showed me how fearless you were. And so this is something for everybody to consider is just because everybody else is doing something for free, by having somebody even pay $1 and you charged $5 to get into the 10-day challenge, even having somebody pay $1, it's like they're already used to making a transaction with you. So when you ask them to make another one, it's not a new experience for them. They're like, well, I already gave her $5. What's another $97? Because that ended up being what our 6-week challenge was, or your 6-week challenge was, as a beta launch. So this is the mm-hmm. first time we're launching it. But what was your comfortable / uncomfortable, like, this is the value of the program moving forward?
Was it like the, I'm trying to remember, $9.97 was the...
Yeah, that's like what we're aiming for, right?
Yeah.
So by doing that exercise that Jenna described, what we were doing is interpreting, like, what do I believe the value of this program to be? So then when we discount it, mm-hmm. when you're telling people, like, the value of this program is actually $1,000. But for you guys, because this is my beta launch, I'm going to only offer it for $97. And how did that feel to know kind of like where the value was and then describe the discount when you were selling it to people?
It made it a lot easier. And to be honest, it actually gave me more confidence. It made me believe more, like, you know what? I do have the knowledge to put something together that is worth $9.97.
Mm-hmm.
And so discounting it down to $97, it did make it easier to sell.
Yeah. So getting back to the challenge, and then we're going to talk about the launch period to the 6-week program. What was your original goal for people to come into just the 10-day challenge for $5 a person?
I set a high goal of 50 people to get in, but I think I told you, I was like, yeah, I'll probably get maybe like 10 to 20, right. But my crazy goal is 50, which I set out, and I ended up getting 40 people.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's 40 times $5 is $200 just to run your 10-day challenge.
Yeah.
And again, what was the overhead cost for doing that? It was basically just emails and a Facebook group, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So free.
Yeah.
All in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the launch phase like to go from the 10-day challenge to actually get people into your 6-week program? And what was your goal for the 6-week program?
So that time, my goal, I set a crazy goal for 30 people. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just get 5. I don't know. But I like to shoot for the stars, sure. Or shoot for the moon, you'll land on the stars and stuff like that. That whole period, at first, I again, threw myself in the deep end, just did it and was presenting it, trying to sell it, and people were signing up very quickly, which was awesome. It was exciting, but also terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, okay, I am doing this because it's the first time, you know, I was excited, and a part of me, that there was a little bit in me that was like, you know what, maybe nobody will sign up. And then I can just say, hey, I tried, but it didn't work. But no, like, people were signing up and people were signing up quick. So it was really scary. And you and I ended up having a conversation. I was like, this is nerve wracking. And I ended up even eventually bringing my goal down. I think I changed it I don't even remember what I changed it down to. Instead of the 30, which I need to do some mindset work around, but I was like, okay, maybe that's going to be too many people, but just really working through, you know what? No, I again, throwing myself in the deep end and being like, I do have the ability to teach these people valuable things. And so I just need to try, see what happens, and let them come. Like, I was open to the universe, sending them my way, but I just had to continue to just keep putting myself out there, being vulnerable, keep trying to sell the program, and just go with it. Yeah.
And you were in that launch period for a week, right?
I think it was 6 days.
And how are you promoting it to people? Like, how are you pitching the program?
So I did Facebook Lives. I did Instagram stories, Instagram posts. And then also from the people from my 10-day challenge, what I did, because then I had their emails, I was sending them emails as well as people from my original email list. So for the people from the 10-day challenge, I would change the emails and that I'd be like, I hope you are. Like, you should be feeling really great now. This is after 10 days. Like, imagine how far we could go after 6 weeks, just to basically bring them in and really get them to see, like, oh, you know what, like, I am feeling great. And I even had the result, like, I had everybody share their results, and I had a wonderful group in that challenge, and I had people who had pictures that shared the differences, and everybody was sharing their experiences, and it really allowed them to see and allow other people to see, because they were nice enough to let me share their results, that, you know, just changing your lifestyle for 10 days is great, but imagine where we could go for 6 weeks, and you deserve to feel that way, and I can get you there. So,
And I think our goal, like our comfortable goal, was 10 people to get into the 6-week challenge. How many people did you get?
11.
Amazing.
Yeah. So still got over it.
Like, yeah.
Got more, which was good.
So in total, you made $1,300 in the span of, let's say, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And the big part about the 6-week program is all you and I did was map it out.
Yep.
You didn't create anything prior. I said, before we even create the 6-week program, I asked you this question. I said, I don't want you to put any effort into creating this program until we know that people are actually going to buy it. How quickly could you put it together? And you're like, I'll just put it together. So I said, okay.
So yeah. We didn't create anything, and this is a lesson for people. It's always a really good idea before you put all of this time and effort into making this big, beautiful, like 6-week or 12-week program, is that you have to be paid before you actually start putting it together, because otherwise you've wasted all this time and energy and nobody bought it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was brilliant. And so now that you're in it, you're 5 days in, right? Or a week in.
Yep.
How's it going? Because you're kind of putting it together on the fly. We mapped out the whole schedule, but.
Honestly, it's going great. Again, I'm lucky in that we have a great set of women who are, they're all really supportive of each other. And I'm just asking feedback instead of me stressing out over, are they going to like what I have set out for them? Then I just ask for feedback. I've been sending them messages and saying like, okay, so I provided a meal plan for, like, one thing I was stressing out over, which just goes to show that you stress over the smallest things that don't matter, is I was stressing out over, do I give them a meal plan weekly or every other week? And instead of just losing sleep over it, I simply asked them what they wanted. Did a poll in the group, and they want weekly meal plans. So there you go. I'm giving them weekly meal plans. Like, you really just have to be willing to put yourself out there again and ask, see what they want. And if anything, you're giving them a better experience because you're giving them what they want.
Yeah. And let's even talk about the changes to the 6-week program too. It was very much the same thing as the 10-day challenge. In the 6-week program, you were giving them like a shit ton of stuff to do. Yeah. And so we took the time to brainstorm between us, like, how can we make this program be unique and be your message? And yes, absolutely give them what they want, but deliver what they need. And how is that process for you as well, to really like think about it and think about what the flow was going to mean and how everything was going to kind of build on itself over 6 weeks?
So at first it was overwhelming, sure, because you have this program, people are buying into it now, you need to figure it out. But again, it goes from breaking it down into little steps, which is what we did together. So having the big idea of what's going to be the basis of the program, but then having it down into actionable steps. And again, because I did want to throw everything at them, just to, again, I thought more would be more value, right? Mm-hmm. But it was actually going to most likely be more overwhelm.
That's right.
And most people don't follow through with programs due to the overwhelm, and they get overwhelmed, then they feel defeated and they don't want to do it anymore. So I was, again, transparent with my group, and I told them, I was like, I wanted to throw everything at you, but one thing I do not want in this program is for you to be overwhelmed, because I want you to be successful. Mm-hmm. So we've broken it down into step-by-step pieces for each week. And I mean, again, it is our beta program, so we'll see how it goes. But so far, so good. Everyone's been responding really well to being involved and getting their feedback. And they like the step-by-step. I think as like naturopaths or naturopathic graduate, I can't call myself that yet, but we get caught up in that. We think that everybody thinks the same way we do, or like we have the same lifestyle. So eating clean is a no-brainer. Like, so yeah. I went from, okay, my first week we're going to do eating clean, intermittent fasting, grounding, affirmations, everything, because that way they feel like they have more. When in reality, like, these women aren't eating, they don't understand how to eat clean yet, so we can't build on that. We need to make that foundation first. So really, again, breaking it down into actionable and attainable steps was what has really helped out.
And then realistically, how much time have you been putting in from beginning to end? Because I want people to also understand that it wasn't like you just wrote a couple of emails and put it out there and you're like, you guys should just buy this, the end.
Yeah.
Like, you've been showing up almost daily throughout this entire process. So could you talk a little bit about like the commitment level for you to get this success and what that was like?
So, like, I have a toddler, so again, nothing is consistent in my life, so I can't really say that every day I'd like to be able to say, oh, I cut out 3 hours daily that I dedicate, like, that doesn't happen.
You're a nappreneur, like the rest of us.
Exactly, you gotta be honest. But seriously, it's like every day I've had to just I've definitely put something together. So it is multiple hours a week. And every day it's different, again, depending on how long Chloe naps for. One day this week she slept for 3 hours, so I got a lot done. Yeah, but other days she doesn't sleep that long, so I don't get that much done. And then you know what that means? That means I'm staying up a little later and getting things done, because if I really want to reach everyone, like all the moms out there, and if I really want to make a difference, I need to put the work into it. And that's just the way it is. So I've just faced the facts, and I take full responsibility for how my business goes. So I can't, you and I had this conversation, like I can't simply say, oh, you know what, Chloe didn't sleep, so I'm not going to show up in my business today. Like that, that only hurts me, and that only hurts my business. Yeah. So I have to take responsibility for it, and I've been committed and putting the hours in.
And I think for you to talk about this should also tell people that running an online business is just as much work as running an offline business. Like I think the laptop entrepreneurs make it seem like it's such a luxurious life and you just like show up for maybe 5 minutes every day and you just make millions. It isn't that way, especially when you're starting out. Like you were, we set your schedule and it was like a live every single day. You also did an Instagram story almost every single day. We had an email going out almost every other day, if not every day. Like it was a lot. And especially because this was your first time doing it. The best part is though, now that you've created it, regardless of the outcome, you can just rinse and repeat this every time and just build your list and get people through the same funnels. And eventually it just becomes automated, but you have to do the work the first time.
Yeah.
And then the final thing that I wanted to ask you about is the emotional piece, because I've just finished a launch as well. We launched the Maximize Your Clinic Next Level program, and I basically created it out of thin air based on what people were asking. So I went through all of the emotions just like you did. And I want you to be honest with everybody about like the roller coaster that is being and launching online.
Yeah, so roller coaster is literally the perfect word for it. It was super exciting to see people buying into my program, and then all of a sudden it was like it hit me that, oh shit, like they're buying into my program. Yeah. Like I'm doing this. Like I haven't done this before. It's breaking new ground. Like, which then, you know, the limiting beliefs come in where it's like, am I worthy of helping these women? Can I do it? Like, do I deserve to be making this money? Like, shouldn't I be working at a health store right now instead? Like, that'd be so much easier. Like, all of the limiting beliefs just come right in. And so, honestly, what helped me was, first of all, like, reaching out to you. We had a good conversation. And then also reaching out to my other I have an accountability group with two of my girlfriends that are also going through this, and really having that support and having other people who are going through the same thing as you really, really helped. And again, identifying those limiting beliefs, because I'll be honest, like the first time I tried to do anything online, which was like last summer, I didn't do it again because of the limiting beliefs. I was like, you know what? It's just going to be easier for me to, maybe I should just stick to clinical stuff and not put myself out there anymore, because it was getting a little too much. But this time around, like, again, that's why I sought out support, like from you, and having the support around me really, really helped. And what I've had to do now, or what I've done, is again, doing the work and putting the time into it. I've written down all of the limiting beliefs and switched them over into affirmations, which again, it's not like overnight these affirmations stick.
Right.
No, but changing the thought process and really trying, which is tough. Again, it's again a roller coaster. So exciting, and then all of a sudden it's terrifying, and then it's so exciting, and then it's terrifying again. So just kind of being open to however this journey is going to go and how it's meant to go. All I can do is really just be open to it, and I can't control anything. That's another part of the anxiety, right?
Like, yes.
We want to control everything, but we can't. So just kind of being open to that. And I mean, one thing that really did help me the whole time, like along with the affirmations, is I listened to Matt Kahn. I don't know if you've heard of him. He does a lot of like self-love and self-help. He has some great audiobooks. But the way he explains going through like a situation where you don't know what's going to happen is basically, you can think of it as if you were watching a movie. So you're watching a scary movie and you're like, okay, if I'm all tense, this character is going to survive.
Yeah.
When in reality, like the movie's already filmed. Like,
right.
How you're reacting to the movie isn't going to change the outcome. So why not just sit there, relax, and watch the movie? The character's going to survive if the character's written
supposed to survive. Yeah.
And it's the same thing if you think about it with kind of like a launch or things with your business and even life. Like, if you can go through it all tense and stressed out and worried, but what's going to happen is going to happen. You can only do your best. So why not try and like ease into the uncomfortable feelings, like really trying to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and just kind of letting what's going to happen.
And that was like so beautifully said. Where my biggest sort of limiting beliefs came up, as they always do, is you start with a population of people that are interested. They've put their hands up. They say, this sounds really cool. Like, you had 40 people go through your challenge.
Yeah.
And in your mind, you're like, well, why couldn't I get at least 30 of them going into my 6-week program, right?
Yeah.
You're sort of like, I've just delivered an amazing amount of semi-free, like $5 content, which, come on now, like for what you delivered, it was amazing. Why wouldn't they want to buy my next program?
Yeah.
So for me, that's what struck me the most, is I'm like, I have created such a phenomenal thing. I'm selling it properly, I'm promoting the value, and people still aren't buying. How do you work around that? Like, how do you not take that personally when you're like, why would only 11 people buy when 40 people just went through this challenge?
The way that so at first, yeah, it is like, oh, like maybe I'm not doing it right. And it's very easy to take it personally, but honestly, people are going to, like, you can't control how people react. And people react a certain way due to things inside of them. So mm-hmm. I kind of ended up thinking, like, you know what? They're not ready. Like, I'm doing everything that I can. I'm the type of person that I just put my heart and soul into something, do as much as I can, and then leave it up to the universe, leave it up to however people are going to react to it. And when people didn't want to buy, because of course I had a couple conversations with people who were interested, but mm-hmm. then they didn't end up wanting to buy. And it really comes down to, okay, like, I can't take that personally. It's really where that person is in their journey. And if they're not ready to buy, then they're not ready to buy. But I let them know, if at any point you change your mind and when you are ready, I will be here for you.
Yeah.
And I just not trying not to take it personally, but it is so easy to get lost in that and not putting my worth with if people sign up or not.
And so where are you at now? The person who you were prior to doing all of this, putting yourself out there, being this vulnerable, and now you're in it, you've done it. Like, you're kind of at the end of your launch. How is that transformation for you? If anything, maybe nothing did change, but I'm going to assume something did.
It did. It did. Honestly, even though it has been, what, 3 or 4 weeks at the max, like, I feel, even though I've gone through the roller coaster, I do feel more confident in myself. I do feel more confident in my abilities going through the selling process, going through writing out how the transformations will happen, and also the having people actually go through the challenge instead of just sitting there thinking about how great it would be if I started this online business or something like that. Actually just throwing myself out there and trying. I'd say that I'm more confident in my abilities now, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Did you learn anything? Like, we're kind of going through a bit of a debrief, but did you learn anything about your audience? Did you learn anything about what people are actually wanting versus what you assumed they wanted?
Oh, 110%. So I want, like, I wanted more so. I was completely resistant to weight loss. I'll just throw that out there right now. I'm going to be completely honest. I was so resistant to weight loss. I thought, you know what? I do want to optimize maternal health through nutrition, self-love, lifestyle changes, and not focus on weight loss, because I really want women to see that it's not their worth with the number on the scale, right? Mm-hmm. So what I had done is I surveyed my population and I sent them out a survey seeing, like, if there was one thing you could change, what would it be? And how would that change your life and stuff like that? Honestly, every single one of them, I got at least 20 responses, which was phenomenal. Everybody wanted weight loss. And so it comes down to, okay, you have to meet your population where they're at. And also, again, giving them what they want, but give them what they need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, positioning the program around weight loss, so they see, like, yes, okay, you may, like, lose a couple pounds, but really what we are focusing on it is the self-love practices, the nourishing through clean eating, drinking enough water, affirmations, like multiple other things. But you really have to ask what do they want, because I could have talked until I was blue in the face about how amazing you'll feel with my just general wellness program. But they need a specific problem, and they will tell you what they want, and you basically have to base it around that if you really want people to sign up.
Awesome. Anything else that you think would be of value to people who are, you know, they're there, they want to, they have these amazing dreams, and they're just finding all the reasons not to take action? Any piece of advice to those people?
Honestly, first of all, doing some soul searching as to, like, what would happen if you did put yourself out there? Like, what we think that the world would end if I did this Facebook Live and then I forgot what I was going to say or something. But realistically, like, what would happen? Nothing. So, kind of, but everybody has their own personal answer. And I'm not saying this just because you are my coach, but I would also say seek support. There are so many of us that are trying to do this, and Olympic athletes have coaches. So even though we think, like, yeah, I know what to do, I'm going to do it, like, sometimes you need that push from someone. So either getting a coach, getting an accountability group, or just an accountability buddy, just go do it. That's it. It's easy just start.
Yes.
Basically what I want to say.
And I think to add on to that, like, be coachable. And when people give you advice, not saying it has to come from me, but at least take it into consideration. Try it. Like, the whole point is to just keep moving forward. And you did it so fearlessly that you deserved everything that you received on the back end, because you were just like, oh, I need to do this, done. Oh, you're telling me to do this? Done. Like, it was amazing to work with somebody like that. And I know that there's a lot of people that are listening that do still have that fear, and that that fear of vulnerability, the fear of creating something. What happens if it's an epic failure?